chanting sounds beautifully, inspires me to talk a little bit about singing to God. The Hindus sing to God, to the gods, to the multitude of devas within their temples and home shrine rooms, and who gather around a group of Hindus when they gather together almost anywhere, because each Hindu has his guardian devas around him, which come to him, locate him, attach themselves to him at his Namakarana Samskara, shortly after birth, his name-giving ceremony, or at some time during his life when he enters the great tribe known as the Hindu religion. And of course, when two or more Hindus gather, then there are several, or sometimes ten or more, depending upon the personal sadhana that the Hindu has done in his life, or devas that have attached themselves to him and his family in many past lives. And they all gather around, and a conclave has formed. Therefore, singing to God is singing also to one's immediate astral family of guardian devas that travel with each Hindu wherever he is. Of course, when singing does commence at a satsang in a Hindu group of devotees, these devas call others, and others come, and they all sing together on the inner plains. And that singing calls others until a multitude of beings in the second world strike up the same chorus as being sung by everyone in the first world. And we must realize this when we come together and sing to God. Sing to the gods. The gods hear their name being called in song. The gods understand what is being said in the Sanskrit language. It is very necessary for each one who is singing to the gods is to deeply understand what he is saying. The meaning, the tones of the voice, the thought behind the meaning, the deep feeling behind the thought gives power to the voice and takes that meaning, thought, and feeling and sound right out of this macrocosm into the microcosm and through to a greater macrocosm where the gods live. Therefore, high tones are best suited to piercing through the microcosm into the great macrocosm of the inner worlds. But also concentration of mind, of knowing the meaning. Most chants are pleading or invoking certain benefits or asking the gods for something for yourself, or praising the gods in thanksgiving for all the good that they have done for you throughout your life or during an immediate time span. And this must be felt. The true thanks must be given, or true asking must be asked with the mind and emotions and thought, as the words, Sanskrit words, are pronounced in song. For what is the god to think if he sees a devotee chanting something to him, pleading to him through the tones of his voice, but he's thinking about something totally different? Or he's not even thinking at all. He's just mouthing words. Obviously, the god is going to say this person is very insincere. He's saying things that he doesn't really mean. As he looks through the microcosm into this macrocosm and sees a group of people sitting and chanting. Therefore, one bathes before he comes to a satsang. One prepares in his mind his emotion, knowing that he's on stage before the greatest intelligent beings of this universe, whom he is invoking, and of course who he knows that are going to come because of the invocation. They're going to be called, because that's what his spiritual helpers on the astral plane are for, to help, to work with him there to open the third world. All three worlds work together when a group of Hindus get together. For the astral people who work with him also invoke the higher second world, and those beings there who work with this individual also invoke the third world, and the personal deity has been reached and the blessings come. So it's very important that we're very sincere when we chant. We would not want to be seen as being insincere, as being saying one thing and thinking at the same time about another. We're saying and thinking one thing and then feeling another without having the feeling behind it. Presenting oneself to the gods through song or just appearing in front of them in the temple. We want them, and they have to see you in your most sincere state of affairs. If you're unhappy and you come to the temple, they must see your unhappiness. It must not be clouded. Then they can help. Because they're going to see you anyway, the way you are. Looking out of the microcosm into our macrocosm of the first world, they will see you as you are. And that's very important, that they see you as sincere, whether you're happy, whether you're unhappy, whether you're sad. But we would not want them to see you saying one thing and thinking another as you are invoking them. That has to be very sincere. Therefore, I'm speaking to those who do not or are not too familiar with the Sanskrit language. It's very necessary to make a special effort to understand in English or the language you are familiar with what you were actually saying in Sanskrit. Ganesha Saranam. I invoke the great Darshan and take refuge in the Darshan of Ganesha. I take refuge in Ganesha. You must actually take refuge in Ganesha if you're saying that. But of course, you could be saying Ganesha Saranam, Saranam Ganesha, and singing it beautifully, and not thinking or feeling anything, except knowing that you were on key. And that would appear to be insincere. In this similar way, somebody comes to you and just says things. And you know he doesn't mean it. You know he's not even thinking about what he's saying. Well, that's because you're not deeply familiar with the meaning of the words. So therefore, you have to remember the English translation. Very necessary to impress with deep within the subconscious mind the English translation. So immediately you're saying Ganesha Saranam, you've dropped into the mood of taking refuge in the great darshan of Ganesha's love and compassion for all mankind. That's very important. That makes your chanting and singing for the gods very, very beneficial for all mankind. For group chanting, singing to the gods regularly, day after day after day, give the devas great power in the lower astral world to reach out and help all Hindus around the world or in the immediate vicinity. Within 100-mile radius, inner plane helpers of Hindus that were not perhaps religious Hindus, would come to the satsang on the astral plane and be renewed themselves. Inner plane helpers must also be renewed and inspired. I imagine they would get very bored helping and protecting an unreligious Hindu. But that's what they have to do. That's their assigned duty. Now that unreligious Hindu might, when he dies, spend a life or two on the astral plane helping unreligious Hindus as their spiritual protectors and guardian devas. A satsang conducted regularly at the same time can call all of these thousands and thousands of guardian devas together in one group and renew and inspire them. They go back to their first world Hindu that they are bound to guard and protect, renewed, and uplift him. And uplift him. And then he gets the desire within himself. He's uplifted out of the fog and morass of confusion of the mind to pay closer attention to his religion. He has a desire to go to the temple. He gets renewed, and on and on and on and on. Just because a group of devotees got together and sang to God, felt what they were singing, knew the meaning of what they were saying, the implications of what they were invoking, or the praise, what they were giving. And so sincerely and so deeply that they penetrated into the microcosm, they heard in the microcosm, thought, feeling, knowledge, and tone penetrates into the microcosm. Because it's from the microcosm that it came from. First the tone, then the thought, then the feeling, and then man says, looks at the world and says, and makes words. Two mean one thing, and three mean another, and finally we have and you can live a life saying and So we want to take that all in, take in the tone, take in the thought, take in the feeling, take in the knowledge, take in the tone, back to the source, right within the microcosm, where you were living 12 months before your physical birth. You were in the microcosm. Slowly were brought out into this macrocosm. So it's not anything you're unaccustomed to doing. And you can do it night after night after night as you sing to the gods. And you must know that there are people listening. People just like you on the lower astral plane are listening. People just like you on the higher astral plane that are listening. People unlike you in the stratums of the higher astral or second world are listening. And they're all chanting simultaneously. And if you had an inner ear to hear, you could stop chanting and you'd hear them continuing chanting. That has been done. That has been also heard. Thousands and thousands of people, and the more regular the chanting occurs, and the deeper it penetrates into the higher worlds, even the third world people will chant along. Even Ganesha will start dancing. Just because you penetrated with voice, feeling, thought, and most importantly, knowledge into the microcosm. And in your mind's eye, you look through and see into its macrocosm. there they all are. In a world bigger than this world. Chanting, singing, right along with you. And still others in the astral plane. The astral plane is in this macrocosm. It's right in this macrocosm. It penetrates the ether of this macrocosm. Even the astral plane of this macrocosm, people are chanting. So you have your astral plane, your higher astral plane, your lower astral plane within this macrocosm, and your second world and third world within the microcosm. I don't think I made that clear earlier. So think about that, and as you chant, know what you're saying. Very importantly, especially if you don't know Sanskrit, don't just say words. Know what you're saying, and know that you're saying it to somebody. If you're chanting to Ganesha, know he's hearing. If you're chanting to Muruga, you're invoking Muruga, expecting Lord Muruga to hear. You're pleading that he will hear and listen.
Yeah.